Always great to have a chat to John Massara on Racing Pulse. Appreciate your time. John, how are you going?
I'm going well, thanks, Michael. I
want to start with your superstar, the Autumn Sun. Now, how long until he gets back into work?
He's in work, in very light work, down there at Hermitage Stud, which is the other part owner's farm. It's a magnificent place with great facilities. And both he and Winx are in light work there. And he moves to the stable, I think, on the 24th of December. So he'll be back in full work from the 24th of December on. So he's on his way.
Quite amazing to think that both he and Winx are at the same property enjoying their little break. And I wonder whether they'll get even closer during the Autumn Carnival. Have you finalised the Autumn program for the Autumn Sun?
No, I'm meeting up with Chris on Friday. We're going to have a bit of a chat about that. But broadly, I think we'll start with the standard three-year-old races, you know, and the Hobartville and the Randwick Guineas. And after that, it's pretty open. At some stage in the autumn, we'd like to get to weight for age because we'd like to test him against, you know, the open horses if we can. So that's roughly, you know, the direction we're going to take, but that's not been finalised. I'll talk to Chris on Friday and we'll make some decisions and talk to the other part owner and we'll come to some conclusion.
So it'll be a solely Sydney-based autumn campaign. And
at this stage, most probably, this is where Chris's head office is, and there's a well-trodden path of races for three-year-olds in Sydney, and then we've got the championships, and there are some opportunities there as well. So probably that's what it'll be, but we're going to be nominating for everything in case weather conditions change and that sort of thing, you know. So I'm not ruling out anything to do with Melbourne. It's still a possibility, but I think certainly that's where we'll start.
And the whole of
that's the plan.
Well, the whole of Australia's been awaiting a potential clash between the Autumn Sun and Winx. Would we likely get to see that in either the George Ryder or a Queen Elizabeth?
Yep, it's a possibility. I'm hoping not. I said earlier when we were thinking, considering the Cox Plate, that, you know, we certainly don't want to be the one that shoots Bambi, you know, because she's been an icon of racing in this country and has created so much interest, and she's such a champion. And I don't want to see her go down, and if she does go down, I don't want to be involved in it.
Do you think
he would
beat her?
There may be no option, you know, of clashing at some stage late in the autumn.
Are you confident that he would beat her then?
I'm not confident, no, certainly. You can't be confident of beating a champion like that. But I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the autumn. He's physically, I've seen him twice during the break. He's continued to develop physically. He's broadened. He's certainly put on some beef, but he's broadened structurally. And I think he's going to be a stronger horse. And Chris has always felt that we'll see an improvement in the autumn. So if that's the case, you know, he's going to be competitive, I'd say, in almost anything he runs in, you know. But she's something very special. She's something very, very special. And, I'd rather not clash with her. But there may be no alternative.
Well, we want to see the best take on the best, though, as well. So it would
be That's true.
What do you think's his best distance? He's been so dominant as a three-year-old over the mile. Do you think when he gets out to 2,000, he could be even better?
Well, he could be. I think he's very strong at the sort of 1,400 to a mile. And he's run, you know, he's run amazing times for the shorter distances where he's competed. He's a very versatile horse. But, you know, I think if we pushed him out to 2,000, I think he'd be very competitive there, very competitive. He'd be positioned a bit closer. And he's got that finishing burst, which would put him in an unassailable position, I think, certainly against his own age. But, look, I'm going to be guided by the trainer, obviously, and how the horses come back and that sort of thing. So we're a little bit in the hands of Chris here. He's, you know, he's working with him every day, and we'll see the way he's going, and we'll work in that direction. But to start with, I think we'll be, you know, probably in the 1,400 to 1,600 metre range to start with, the first two or three starts at least.
You know better than anyone his value where his future lies at stud. If he has the autumn campaign we're hoping for and he runs very well against Winx or even beats the champion, When does Stud beckon? Will we get to see him in the spring as well?
Look, theoretically, the plan would be at the end of his three-year-old year. If he's beaten those against him at weight for age in one of the races you've nominated or something else, he's probably proved all he needs to prove as far as going to stud is concerned, and he's a really valuable property. But you never say never. We'll just have to wait and see just how he does what he does, and he may go on. But at this stage of the game, the inclination is that at the end of this season, that's the sort of first target. We'll sort of stop at the end of the season and say, well, where do we go from here? And what obvious path is the stud?
So a Cox Plate wouldn't entice you to go on, or this new race?
Yeah, Cox Plate would entice us to go on because it's a great race. It's a big weight for age race. If he's already won at weight for age a couple of times before that happens, it wouldn't be as important as it otherwise might be to us. But, as a long-term owner of horses, of course, we all would love to win a Cox Plate. But at this stage of the game, he's an extremely valuable property. He was a big investment, and the intention, we bought him with the intention of going to stud. And so that'll be a first priority, but I wouldn't say all other options are closed at the moment. So a little bit will be determined on his performances. Once we've seen what he's done in his first few starts, we'll be able to harden our path ahead. We'll know a bit more about what we're doing.
Does it get to a situation where this horse or these horses are so valuable that it doesn't matter if they win a Cox Plate? There's more to lose if they continue racing?
Well, someone asked me about the prize money of those big races, which is very attractive. Some of these new races, they're extraordinarily valuable races. But at the end of the day, this horse will stand for quite a high fee just on what he's achieved to date. And prize money can't match the earnings he could generate at stud. So it's a draw. And also, you don't want any injuries to him. You want him to retire in a great shape to go to stud. There's an enormous amount of interest in this horse. People are wanting to book him now for him next year, even though they don't even know whether he'll be retired next year. They're saying, look, put us down, please, for a few noms here and a few noms there. So it's amazing the interest there is in this horse. And, it's something that you don't want to lose when you're sort of setting him up on a commercial career. So it's a balancing act. Mm. We'll wait and see how he goes, Michael, in the first two or three starts, and determine after that which direction we're going in.
Well, you mentioned these new races, and the Golden Eagle, one of the reasons for its inception, according to Peter Volandis and Racing New South Wales, is to try and entice those three-year-olds to continue racing, the $7.5 million prize money. Is that not enough? And is that race not a type of race that would entice these horses to continue on?
Look, I think that race will entice a swathe of horses to continue. I've got no doubt. And also, it'll entice people to refuse offers to sell their horses to Asia and carry on here. But he is perhaps the one exception to that rule, because he can generate so much revenue at stud that even the first prize money of a race like that can't compensate for that.
There's been a lot of discussion about that race. As a former chair of Racing New South Wales, what's your viewpoint on the race, and more specifically, the timing of it, having a $7.5 million race put on Derby Day?
Look, that's a moot question. I've got sympathy for Racing New South Wales' view that their major carnivals are held when a plethora of other sports are at their peak, namely the football codes. On the other hand, Victoria, of course, gets free air in the very early autumn and the late spring, before the codes have really started and after they've completed their finals. So the one test of whether they can work to have a race on the same day was this year's Everest, when it competed with the Caulfield Guineas, and I was a case in point. I had a runner in both. I didn't know which way to go. But in the end, both jurisdictions did well in terms of wagering revenue. They had a, significant increases, and they both did well in terms of attendances. I suppose the only factor that sort of impinged on the whole thing was availability of top-class jockeys for what a magnificent meeting in Melbourne. I mean, almost every, I think every race was a stakes race. And then the Everest, which is an incredible race. We probably don't have enough top-line horses to, supply both meetings. Jockeys to supply both meetings.
Isn't that the issue, though? We're going to dilute our best horses? You want the best to race against the best?
Yes. Well, you do generally, but I think the Everest didn't compete with a similar race in Victoria. So, look, having said all of that, I'm all for, cooperation and working in a complementary fashion and closer association between the two jurisdictions. And I hope that can develop. No one likes to see the conflict that's currently in place, but I do understand Racing New South Wales' situation of being caught in a time frame which doesn't give that jurisdiction a chance to really perform as well as it can. So there's got to be a way through this, and I'm hopeful that the two parties will get together and work it out.
Do you think it's detrimental for racing as a whole to have this two-state war, but also the encroachment into each other's carnivals?
Well, there are those that say that this sort of competition is good for ownership because it's created competition between the two states, which has meant that prize money has gone up, and that's got to be good for ownership. I can see that point of view. But I do think that trying to maintain some order in terms of programs and what have you is important too. And I do hope that, whatever conflict is arising can be resolved as between the two key jurisdictions in this country. I can't believe that it won't be. It's a matter of mature people sitting down and trying to accommodate each other. There's got to be a way through where New South Wales can solve some of its own issues, but at the same time, Victoria can feel that they're part of the solution.
And there's been a lot of talk about Racing Australia, how they have no say over this, and basically it's a body that is a toothless tiger. How can that be improved, and what do you think about that?
Well, I used to be the chairman of that.
I know.
That body is a rulemaker, basically, and I suppose it's an opportunity for the heads of each state to get together and talk through these issues. So perhaps as a result of what's happened, that sort of debate will begin more earnestly there. It's hard to say. It is one forum where the parties can get together, but there's always another way of doing this, and just meeting bilaterally, I'm just hopeful that there's going to be more talking as between the parties, and I know what the Victorians are saying, and I also know the difficulty New South Wales has had with the programming, and there's got to be a way through. There are solutions to everything, and the one thing we did learn with the Everest is that running a big race on a day which is a massive day for Victoria doesn't necessarily take anything away from Victoria, but it's got to be done in a way which hopefully both parties feel is complementary one to the other, if that's at all possible. And, there's some reasonable... I mean, Racing New South Wales is a well-run organisation. He's an outstanding executive, Peter Vallandi, isn't he? He's done a great job there, and I've worked with him for 5 years. I know how good he is. And he's got a solid board, and I expect the Victorians are in the same position. And surely they can get together and see if they can work this out.
Well, I think it needs to go down that road. It's always great to have a chat to you, John. We know there's a big sales season coming up. I want to speak to you in more depth about Arrowfield's draft and looking ahead to that. And there are other issues which I'd love to talk to you about, New Zealand racing and also the Regumate. So we'll do that at a later date. But I appreciate your time and an update on the Autumn Sun this morning.
Pleasure, Michael.
John Massaro.